everybody, and welcome back to the podcast and show Backwater Entrepreneur, the podcast that guides your business through the backwaters to the global marketplace. My name is Jack, and I'm your host. And this is episode number 5. I want to talk to you about outsourcing. And so hiring, you know, we talked in the last episode about hiring people, about being a one-man show. And now we're going to talk about outsourcing, because this is something like something in between of those two things. I do think that hiring people and creating a kind of a team is always the best solution for a growing company and a long-term solution. But a lot of people are doing outsourcing, and outsourcing is something that can help you scale your business very fast and downscale your business very fast if you know you have a need for it. So if you have higher peaks of doing business or you know multiple clients, and then some very low peaks of doing business, and you have to, you know, you want to avoid firing people and stuff like that. So I wrote a Medium post about this a couple of months ago. And basically, I want to tell you a story first. My very first experience in outsourcing came very near my beginnings in freelance. So when I was doing the initial steps in my freelance, I'm not one of these classical freelancers that, you know, I'm not a programmer, I'm not a designer, I'm not anything like a normal IT person. So I didn't even know where to start off my freelancing business about 5 years ago. And one of my friends who was a designer said to me, you know, you can do freelance. And I said, I don't know what to do in freelance. So I know English, but I don't know what to do. So you can do like translations, but translations from, you know, English to Serbian and vice versa are a very, very small niche, and it was very hard to get in. So why don't you do copywriting? Copywriting, what's that? So basically, copywriting is writing articles or blog posts on a certain subjects that people want to. About 5 years ago, there was a big, big boom in copywriting, because that was one of the tools to get you better positioned, to get you backlinks, and everybody was doing so much content in writing. So not you know, nowadays it's more like audio and video. There is still a big marketplace for copywriting, but not as much as 5 years ago. My first freelance steps were very, as any freelancer, very, very hard, because I was, you know, I was forced to work for a very low wage. I was working for $1 an hour or $1 per text of 500 words, which was nothing. But I didn't have any references. And, you know, a lot of freelance beginners have to, you know, either work for free or decide that they want to work for a couple of months for a very low wage. So I started working for $1 an hour. And basically that soon turned into $5 an hour, which soon turned into $15 an hour, which soon turned into $20 an hour. And then I had a beautiful idea. So now that I earn $20 an hour or $20 per text, which is not an actually hourly, you know, kind of hourly wage, but $20 per text, I'm going to hire somebody to do, you know, my work for me that costs $5 or even $1 per text, and I would earn $15. So right, the you know, the law of outsourcing. So I'm gonna bring in business, and I'm gonna give it to somebody else to do for a lower wage than I'm charging my client, and everybody's happy, right? Wrong. So what happens when you give a text to somebody who writes for $1 an hour? You soon learn the hard way that there are some people that actually will never go over $1 per text in their wage because they're terrible. Not everybody were as dedicated or as, you know, just on the level as I was, in the sense that they were a beginner and they were working for a dollar per text because they were a beginner. They were working a dollar per text because they were worth dollar per text. And I soon realized that I had to redo all of the text that I already paid for, in the last moment, which brought on a very long series of unsleep nights for me to be able to deliver on time and even get a lesser paycheck than I wanted to. So that was my experience in outsourcing. And outsourcing has its, you know, pros and cons, in the sense that you have to be very careful about quality, skill set, reliability, price range, and expectations of people that you are, you know, outsourcing to. There is always a process of testing. There is always a process of, you know, getting used to working with somebody. And when you're outsourcing, you're always at the beginning of an adventure. So for example, when you hire somebody, there is a period where you get used to working with him. And when he gets used to you giving him instructions and stuff like that. But when you're outsourcing, you're constantly in that bubble. So you're constantly working with new people. If you're constantly outsourcing and basically, later on, when I started working a project management job, one of the policies that a company had is to constantly outsource. So I was given a task to constantly have pools of people, a pool of people in different stages of production that I can tap, and I can always negotiate the price. So for an employer, a CEO, that was kind of a logical idea of getting always the best price possible for the creation of his product. For a project manager, it was like hell. So I was riding a bike and everything was peachy for the CEO, but I was riding a bike which was on fire, and I was on fire, and I was in hell. So, you know, constantly working with people who you don't know if they're going to do a good job or not, and you constantly have to find ways of leveling out their mistakes, or if somebody doesn't do a good job, working overtime to fix it, is not something that I would recommend to any project manager. So what did I do? I created a core team of outsourcing people, of the people I outsourced to. I created a core team. And basically, this is something that I want to give you as an option. So creating something that is called a dedicated freelancer. A dedicated freelancer is somebody who is not hired by you, who is still considering himself or herself as a freelancer, but you give him enough work and projects on the terms that you agree that everybody's happy with, that they don't have to find or search other work. So if you have enough work and you give the core team enough work to keep them, you know, fully satisfied. And I'm saying that for somebody that can mean, you know, a part-time, for somebody it can mean a full-time. And I met people who are very happy in doing overtime, in the sense that, you know, they don't want to sleep if it means they're gonna, you know, earn more money. So if you can give them enough of that work, they will be both loyal and responsible, and you will know constantly the people that you're working with. You will know how they work. You will know the quality that they deliver, and they will respect you, and you will respect them for that. So building a dedicated freelancer team as a core team, and then having a couple of other options that are happy to do one or two or three projects with you, you know, when you have an overspill of work, can be a good solution for a business. And I even found that in some cases, a dedicated freelancer is kind of a win-win situation, because if you hire people and you don't have constant work, then you're entering kind of the possibility to lose money, because you have to pay out salaries and you promise them, they are expecting that of you on one hand. And on the other hand, if you have enough work for them, they can earn much more than having a salary. In having a salary, you always try, and we always try as CEOs, to kind of get or squeeze a little bit more than just per project, right? So they need to be worth a little bit more than just paid per project. If they want to, you know, do a dedicated freelancer option, they have the option to say, okay, today or the next week, I'm not going to sleep, but I'm going to earn 5 times more than I would be on salary. Of course, looking at the whole picture, I would always recommend that in the end, you strive for full-time employees. You strive to have a dedicated in-house team, because a dedicated in-house team not only can know each other, know how things work, and know what you expect of them, you can use them for so much more than just per project. You can use them for a lot of in-house activities, which every business needs, like marketing, like in-house projects, like your personal projects and stuff like that. So, you know, having enough funds to hire a full team needs to be a goal for every company. In the meantime, a dedicated freelancer option of outsourcing is one possibility. That's it for this episode of The Backwater Entrepreneur. If you have any thoughts, please leave me a comment below, either on SoundCloud, iTunes, or here on YouTube. So I'll see you in the next episode.